Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Welcome in to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. All right, we made it. A weekend of live sports in this city. The White Sox win yesterday 10-3 over the Twins. The Brewers, they beat the Cubs 8-3 over at Wrigley yesterday. Yo! Yu Darvish starts for the Chicago Cubs yesterday. Goes 4 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 strikeouts. Here we go. Live sports are back, Abdallah. Let's do it.
I told you yesterday, I believe we were on the 18th hole at beautiful Crane's Landing in Lincolnshire, in the Shire of Lincoln.
Yo!
I said to you, could it not be more perfect than our first show back with real live sports?
Yes, right.
And Yu Darvish is pitching just so we can bring back the good old Soulja Boy drop. You're supposed to play it when I finish.
I thought you were going to say you. Like, I thought that was the cue.
You were going to play it.
Okay.
I don't need to say it if you're going to play it.
I was waiting for your cue.
I thought you were going to say it.
Yeah.
Yu Darvish, 73 pitches, 4 innings, 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 5 strikeouts. Coming off of that bad start, or that bad start again in a scrimmage game, you kind of have to wonder, is something up with Yu Darvish? Because look, you could say, oh, it's his first start. But guess what? There's not a lot of these.
Well, that's right.
That's 1/10 of his season right there. Probably. That's 10% of his season.
Yeah.
Done. Right there. That's it.
Yeah, out
the
window.
Every loss is like 3 losses.
Yeah.
Or 2 point, whatever. You know what I mean.
So if you want to join the show, 312-332-3776. We'll take your baseball calls this morning. And also, live sports are back. We've consumed a lot of baseball over the weekend. What did you think of the broadcast? From opening night to Fox to ESPN to the Marquee Network to NBC Sports Chicago with the White Sox. What have you thought of the coverage? What have you thought of the background noise? What have you thought of the virtual fans from Fox yesterday? I mean, listen, the virtual fans at times looks okay. At times, when I think it was Corey Seager hits a home run into the stands and the ball just disappears, you can't tell where it landed because there's a bunch of virtual fans there, and you can't kind of figure out that the ball went over the fence. The only way you can look is to see if the player who's running to the fence is looking up and he doesn't make the catch. Like at that point, it's like, okay, Fox, turn the virtual fans off. Like, I get it. When you pan the crowd and it shows fans sitting there and they're virtual. I mean, if that's what you're into, if you're into that type of thing, the virtual fan in the stand, okay. But when the actual action is taking place and you can't see where the home run is hit, that to me is bothersome. You can't have that. So, I mean, what do you think of what you saw over the course of this weekend? A lot of great baseball. Both teams here in town now start off 1-1, right? Against rivals in the division, the Brewers and the Twins. These games are meaningful. So today, meaningful games in town. Both teams, can they figure it out? Can they get this first week off to a good start? You don't want to be sub-500 going into Monday. And we'll kind of go from there. So if we go back to yesterday, we go to the top of the second for the Cubs and the Brewers. Well, there you go.
All right. Well,
no audio. I mean,
it's what it sounded like for Cubs fans, as that was a problem for the Cubs yesterday. But to you know, discuss what happened, Contreras singled to left, Rizzo scored, Baez a third. And then, you know, the problem with Yu Darvish was he got into trouble early. Yeah.
Behind the scenes, here we go.
How come that works?
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see.
But the other highlight doesn't work. Try it again.
So that works.
So Yu Darvish works.
Okay, so to pull a second layer of the curtain back for the day.
What screen are you using?
We've dealt with some things today.
We're on Twitch, and then people can see
Now that works. Yeah.
Hold on. Do me a favor.
Yeah,
Tyler,
yeah.
Tyler producing the show.
Yeah.
Go in the back where we keep all the servers.
Go to the server room
and take the cartridge out, blow into it a little bit, put it back in.
I think
plug it back in.
I think today
Wait
the machines.
Five seconds.
Yeah.
The machines are having their revenge here at ESPN 1000.
There's been some bugs in the system, if you will.
I mean, okay, so we have months of no sports, right?
Everything works fine.
Where we could show up to a show and be like, hey, you want to talk movies today?
Sure.
Hey, you want to talk about the Bulls that played 30 years ago today?
Sure.
Hey, you want to talk about something else?
Why is Jim Boylan still the coach of the Bulls?
Okay.
Light it up.
All right, sure. Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
And then today we're like, all right, here
baseball.
We go. We're geek. There's live sports.
You Darvish.
Let's go. Let's break
Sox
down this.
Mashing.
Okay, here we
Let's
go.
Let's do this.
Top two.
Shaheen's gone.
Cubs.
Let's do this.
Brewers. Here's a highlight. And then.
Nothing.
Womp, 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 womp. Yeah, I mean, this was taking place like an hour ago, too. Like, things were not working here. So Abdal and I, Tyler, were running around the studios trying to fix things and the machines.
Yeah.
Are trying to ruin a good baseball segment here on 1000. All right, let's see. Kane escapes. A rundown.
1-2.
Ah, baseball.
On the ground towards the shortstop. Gloved by Baez, and they've got Kane in a rundown. Bryant. The toss back. Kipnis. Now Baez again. Gamble is stuck at second base now, and the Cubs will not get a single out on that play, and that is very surprising considering the defensive prowess on that infield.
So they're doing everything right, the Brewers, right? Kane stays in the rundown. Gamble gets a second. But watch when Kane goes back down. He starts pointing. See him point. He recognizes that nobody's at first base. Now, for me, that's got to be Caratini and Rizzo. Both can't be standing at home. You don't need two guys at home right there.
So the score 1-1 at the time. Top of the second. Let's go to the top of the fourth.
2-0. Chance to take the lead for the Brewers and much more. The pitch. And a line shot towards right field. That is headed towards the gap. It's going to go all the way to the wall. Two runs are going to score for the Brewers. Gamble is on his way to second. Not stopping there. Here's the throw to third. Not in time. Ben Gamble with a two-run triple. And just like that, the Brewers have a 3-1 lead.
And how about Christian Yelich later in the game?
And the pitch to Yelich, hit in the air in the center, warning track, get up, get out of here and gone. Christian Yelich on his first of the year at Wrigley Field. Shot to dead center for Christian Yelich. Two more runs are in. It's 6-3 Brewers.
So the Brewers Television Network and Fox, you heard Adam Amin there as well. So the Brewers win yesterday 8-3. Yu Darvish not very good in the four innings that he pitched yesterday. Heading into today, you know, what we have here for the Cubs and the White Sox, and the White Sox win big yesterday, but today for the Cubs with Tyler Chatwood on the mound, this is where we get into the conversation about trying to figure out whether or not the way this rotation is set up, whether or not the way that this Cubs rotation can kind of get things done with Quintana on the side, you know, because now you get to the Chatwood, Lester, Mills part of the rotation, and yesterday they got their heads beat in, right? So the Brewers put up runs yesterday. Now, can the Cubs score enough over the course of the next three games to keep this team in it, where we saw yesterday, once again, kind of the same story we saw from last year. Not a whole lot of offense from the Chicago Cubs lineup. That tough lineup from the Chicago Cubs.
Well, here's the problem. I mean, we're already looking at standings. Like, it's the second game of the season.
To me, that's intriguing.
But because, yes, that's the part of this season. It's 60 quick games, and the Cardinals are already 2-0. And, you know, let's say they win today. They sweep. They go up 3-0. And then the Cubs are now 1-2 because they lose today. You can't put yourself into this big of a hole. Jeff Passan said it throughout the, quote, offseason, or while we were waiting for baseball to be played, that if a team goes on a 4 or 5 game losing streak, that's like a 15-game losing streak or a 12-game losing streak sometimes. Like, you can't put yourself into this kind of a hole early. So you needed to rely on your horses, like Hendricks coming in and throwing a great game. And then you needed Yu Darvish, who supposedly has had a great offseason, has that bad scrimmage start a couple days before the season starts, and then comes out and doesn't look horrible, but gives up 3 earned runs. The bullpen, that's the major problem. If Cubs starters aren't going into the 6th, 7th, 8th inning, complete games like Kyle Hendricks did, if you're not having that kind of a start from the Cubs this season, this bullpen is going to be awful. This is not a championship caliber bullpen. This is something that they've had to piecemeal together so far, and it is not, I don't think it's going to work out. Jesse Rogers has been saying it throughout the offseason or ramp up here that he doesn't believe in this bullpen. And if you want this team to compete, sure, maybe they can come in and win the division. Maybe they can come in second since every team in Major League Baseball is making the playoffs this year, basically. It's going to be a problem once, if you make the playoffs, once you get into the playoffs, because you're stuck with a lot of these guys. You have to face three batters. You can't just take guys out and go batter for batter. You can't do switches like that.
I was watching on Friday night, I was watching the Angels and the A's, and Joe Maddon was like itching because he couldn't, you know, manipulate the bullpen like that, where he's just pulling guys every other pitch. Did you see what he was wearing, too? Did you see
that? No, I didn't see it. What's he got?
I mean,
what's
it,
he got?
It was like the 50s.
Is he dripping?
It was in the 50s in Oakland.
Okay.
But like, he was wearing like two winter jackets. He had the mask on, a winter hat. Like, he was bundled up.
Well, yeah.
Like, I know that the nights get cold in the Bay Area.
Well,
but,
that's winter
still.
Out there for them.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's not winter.
40s? It's winter.
So that's one side of town, right? The Chicago Cubs.
Yes.
The White Sox yesterday mashed the ball. And how about the start of the season for Yoan Moncada? Not only is he jacking home runs the other night, where he hit it so hard his helmet came off. It was fantastic. So the White Sox yesterday, 10-3 over the Twins. Big win. Dallas Keuchel, 5 1/3 innings pitch, 2 earned runs, 1 strikeout, but really gets it done for the Chicago White Sox. I mean, Moncada, how about he gets things started with a RBI double? Okay.
That
I mean,
one doesn't work now.
This is not.
Hit it again.
Encarnacion, how about a home run? How about that?
Do you have to double click him? Hit him again. Hit it again. Hit it again.
Aloy?
Hit it again. No,
nope,
hit the same highlight again.
Doesn't. No, I'm, I
same,
am. I'm hitting them all. I'm hitting them. I'm hitting.
You know what's going to happen?
We have all these great highlights.
You know what's going to happen?
The Chicago White Sox.
You know what's going to happen? Someone that tuned in at like 8:05.
Yeah, so miss the whole deal.
Is going to think
that
this is a slight, and
no,
that we played Cubs highlights, and that we're not going to play White Sox highlights.
No,
someone is going to think
that Sox fan could also look at it as like those were also Cubs lowlights.
True.
Those were actually Brewers highlights.
Fair and balanced. Yes.
I'm just saying that the machines are having its way.
Oh, they're having a day today.
Because the audio I'm clicking about right
there's
now.
Gremlins. Will anything work? What about something for later?
That one works.
Okay. Well, we get the Udar. What about we're going to talk about Adam Sheen later.
Do
we have football sound?
No.
Nothing?
Oh, what's
the pitch to Yelich, hit in the air.
Okay. Well, we heard that one already.
So that is now, like, how about this, Tyler? A Lurie Garcia second home run. Is actually Christian Yelich audio.
And the pitch to Yelich, hit in the air.
How about the machines?
I mean, it's basically
having their revenge.
You and I have fans that are Sox, have friends that are Sox fans, right? Right? And a lot of them would say
this is great.
That Yelich home run is a Sox highlight.
Yeah, no, for sure. But the White Sox, they do win yesterday. If you have thoughts on the Sox or the Cubs, 312-332-3776. Here at ESPN 1000 behind the scenes, the machines are taking over.
Machines are taking over. The White Sox runs are coming in bunches. 4 in the 5th, 4 in the 7th. These guys can mash, dude. If they're going to have rallies like this, I hate to keep making the comparison to the Whites, to the Cubs, when they were really hit their offensive stride and they won the World Series and even the year before that. But if you can score in bunches like this, it's devastating to a team. You can take out starting pitchers this way. You can get deep into their bullpen this way. This is the way for the White Sox to win. Yeah, you're not going to win 10-3 every night because the pitching might not be there every single night.
No, not yet.
I'm going to keep ranting.
Encarnacion, home run.
I'm going to keep talking.
Did not work.
But if you can put up this kind
Moncada,
of runs.
RBI double?
If you can put up these kind of numbers.
Lurie Garcia?
On a
and the pitch to Yelich.
Yeah. If you can put up numbers like this on a semi-regular basis, this team is going to be dangerous.
This is going to be a good show.
They swing big sticks.
At 120 on the north side, Freddie Peralta for the Brewers.
Freddy.
Tyler Chatwood on the mound.
Oh, yeah.
On the south side at 110. The White Sox have Ronaldo Lopez heading to the mound and Kenta Maeda for the Minnesota Twins.
It's
going to
be hot. It's going to be hot.
It's going to be a hot
day.
That
ball is going to travel.
It's going to be a hot day. Both teams
over.
trying not to fall under 500 to get things started. I'm interested in the baseball. I like what I see. I've enjoyed watching baseball on television. It's been good. We'll take your calls at 312-332-3776. Aloy, your home run? No, that didn't work. Moncada? Nope.
Nothing.
But the Yu Darvish sound works.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Okay, so over the course of the last week, my wife bought new patio furniture.
My wife.
And I put it together.
Yeah. It's like a couch. It's like an L couch.
Two of them.
Yeah.
Guy from Wayfair, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying. It's so you're doing it with the Allen wrench. You got the Allen wrench,
yeah,
which
you got
that thing
one wrench, yeah,
will just tear your hands up.
Oh, it's awful.
Especially after 4.5 hours of trying to put it together. But here's why I bring this up.
So you've got to get the drill with the Allen wrench attachment, and then you just...
No, but the reason you have to do it is because you have to get in those tight spaces.
Drill.
So you can't really reach to that spot.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's why I bring it up. Because I feel like today's show and the start of this show is very relatable. I'm out there in the sun baking away, mm-hmm, trying to use this Allen wrench, mm-hmm, and I count... 8 of the holes do not line up. See what I'm saying? So, like, when you have to put the screw through the hole on the one side, through the piping there, mm-hmm, and then connect it to the frame, it goes right in. You screw it together. Boom. You're ready to go.
Done.
You do it all over the L-shaped couch,
furniture,
right?
Yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. 8 of them, load-bearing spots do not match up, and it's not close.
That sounds like a you problem.
Well... We figured it out. I mean, there's a lot of bending going into these poles and whatnot. I feel like we're doing a lot of bending here with the audio, and we're just trying to make do right now here on ESPN 1000.
Yeah. Let's give it another shot.
Like, because the lines are not, it's not lining up. The screw is not going through. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's not clean. Mm-hmm, it's not working out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's a glitch in the matrix.
So I'm just saying, like, when we go to the Yoan Moncada highlight and there's nothing. Whoa!
Wait a minute.
Whoa! Did it.
Wait a minute.
Wait, is this really the Moncada highlight?
Wait a minute.
So we're going to talk about the White Sox here?
Okay.
This wasn't a bit?
Okay.
Okay.
No, it was. No, it was not a bit. People thought it was a bit.
No,
the Twitterers
things are not
were like,
working
what's
here.
Wrong with you guys? Why do you hate the White Sox?
The machines are taking over here at ESPN 1000.
Yeah. We're not trying to do a bit.
All right, so
there's a glitch in the matrix. There's some gremlins in the computers.
We're fair and balanced. The Chicago White Sox yesterday beat the Twins 10-3.
Mashing.
Yoan Moncada, a double, an RBI double in the third inning.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how that sounds like.
How about opposite way with some slugs? Deep left center field to the wall it goes and banging off the wall. Here comes Tim. He's around to score, and the Sox take the first lead of the ball game. Moncada sends one flying, and it's 1-0.
Mm-hmm. Yoan keeps it going as he had it last night. He reaches out, takes it the other way, and no chance at all for Rosario.
Oh, baby, to hear some good Sox highlights. Benetti, Stone, how about Larry Garcia? Maybe a first home run. You think it's going to work here? Oh, yes!
High in the air, right center field. Kepler, a long run. That ball carries up and out of here. Oh, a moonshot for Leury Garcia. Leaves in right center, and it's 2-0.
Mm-hmm. If there's any doubt if it's lively today, that one would dispel it. That looked like a high fly ball that either Kepler or Gonzalez were going to catch easily. But it kept on drifting. He got it up and in the jet stream, and this little slider that didn't slide, he drives it out of the park.
Slider that didn't slide. We are in the bottom of the fifth. Garcia with his first home run. How about Edwin Encarnacion?
Gives Edwin Encarnacion an opportunity to drive a ball deep left field. He drops the bat. Watch it go. Two-run homer.
Yeah.
A mammoth welcome
Bring
to Chicago.
Out.
And here comes the parrot for the first time this year. Wow.
Aloy.
in the air right field. Well fifth. Struck. Gonzalez back, still drifting at the wall. It's up and over. Yellow line and gone for Eloy Jimenez. And 5-0. You said it.
That's the one that I saw. And fortunately, Gonzalez ran out of room. Eloy really didn't hit it very well. I mean, this is going to be one of his least exit velocity home runs of the year.
Now, remember, a couple days ago, Lourdes Garcia, not good in the field,
yeah,
not good at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Nick Madrigal not up with the team, mm-hmm. right? Garcia yesterday gets the first home run early in the game,
mm-hmm.
follows it up later on, bottom seventh.
Oh, that ball is absolutely rocked to left field. Down the line. Gone! Way gone! A two-bomb afternoon for Leury Garcia. And 10 up for the Sox this Saturday. We are not worthy.
Ricky Renteria after the game on the victory for the White Sox.
We put together some pretty good at-bats. Strung them together, and I think that obviously we kept tacking on. We had a couple guys at the ballpark, so it was just a nice contribution across the board with everybody, and it was nice to see.
Dallas Keuchel with the win for the White Sox.
Threw very, very well. You know, was very, very efficient. It was the first time we've gotten him up 6 times, and so he was able to do and keep us in the game. Obviously, he set the tone by being able to, you know, quiet their bats a little bit and gave us a chance to do some scoring. Did a very nice job. I mean, you all see the specialty of his game, which is command the zone, not afraid, works, you know, with a good tempo and kept everybody on their feet. And, you know, he's a pro. Did a very, very nice job.
So that's Ricky Renteria. And I think when you look at Dallas Keuchel, the free agent signing for the Chicago White Sox in the offseason, the one thing that I look at for the rotation is, yeah, you know, we all hope that Lucas Giolito turns into a special ace mm-hmm. in the American League, but I feel as if Dallas Keuchel can be a calming force within the rotation. Is he in his prime still? No, probably not, but he's a veteran pitcher who knows how to go out there, get it done. He will be a calming presence within the rotation. Now we look ahead at Ronaldo Lopez today, who's been a little bit wild at times, but he has fantastic stuff. So Keuchel yesterday in the 5 innings pitch, 3 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned, 73 pitches yesterday. So Dallas Keuchel, a good start for the Southsiders.
I think that if you look at this team, and you know, they put up 10 runs yesterday, but they put up 5 runs the day before. If you can average 7 to 8 runs a game, and if you can give Giolito, if you can
seven
give
7 to 8 runs average, jeez.
No, but I'm saying, I'm looking at this. I'm saying, look, if you give. If
what are
you
they
give,
playing? If you 16 give, inch softball?
If I mean, you give Keuchel seven, it's 5 runs. 4 runs, like you said, he's not that great. But so far, we all know that we've talked about it all offseason that the White Sox were going to be able to hit. They've proven they've been able to hit. They put up 5 runs in a loss. Now they gave up 10 runs, but still, if you can put up 5 runs, that was the problem with the Cubs. That was the, you can't have that Cubs problem. You need consistency. If they can give run support to these guys, then the staff that. Alleviates all of the pressure off of the staff. If you give Dallas Keuchel, like you said, he may not be in his prime. He may need more than 2 runs of support, but if you can give 3-4 runs, something like that, a game, I'm not saying you need to average 5, 6, 7 runs a game, but I'm saying that you need to be able to have run support, and that is something that the White Sox are going to have all season because of the strength of the bats in this lineup.
312-332-3776. We go to John in Rolling Meadows. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks for taking the call. Two things real quick about both sides, okay? The White Sox have a veteran manager with a very good bullpen, and, okay, I think they'll have a good rotation. They got a young ball club that's going to be a lot of fun to watch, okay? But they're going to be making mistakes along the way. They are young. They haven't played together. So, you know, you got to take the good with the bad. They're going to be fun. They'll probably be a playoff team. The Cubs' biggest problems right now, you got an inexperienced manager, an inexperienced bullpen, but the two things that stand out to me, Darvish has got to be the Darvish of the second half this year, and they got to get Chris Bryant out of that leadoff spot and maybe even go as far as giving him the day off day. Oh, he has yet to get a hit. Put him back in the three spot, the two spot where he feels more comfortable, and figure out your leadoff spot without Bryant there, because there's just too much pressure on him, and he's just not seeing the ball, or he's just trying too hard. You know, that leadoff spot, it's a different animal, and if you're not used to being up there, this is what can happen.
Thanks for your call, John. We appreciate it. If you want to talk baseball with us, you can give the show a call at 312-332-3776. Bryant in the leadoff goes back to the same conversation we've had now for years with this White Sox, I mean, with this Cubs lineup, right? After they win the World Series with Dexter Fowler up there, you go, we go type of thing with that offense and Fowler up there in the leadoff spot each and every day allowed those like Bryant to then sit back, to then be able to be a little bit more patient and to kind of find a groove where we have seen the struggles at times. And a lot of it, when you look at the Cubs lineup, even though it suggests based on the sabermetrics that you should be batting Chris Bryant as high as possible in the lineup, it always comes back to the Cubs don't have a true leadoff guy. You see what I'm saying? Like, even though, like, I understand the idea behind it, so I don't really have a problem with it. But you have fans like John in Rolling Meadows who look at the leadoff spot and say, hey, we need someone up there who's consistently in that spot so you can put Bryant at two. Mm-hmm. Rizzo then goes to three. Baez is your four hitter. Mm-hmm. Then you have you can play around with Schwarber and Contreras and when you put them in the lineup. But once again, we're kind of going to look at a lineup where the Cubs don't have a true leadoff hitter. Now, the response to John Rolling Meadows is there are very few teams in baseball that have the old-school true leadoff hitter like they used to. It's not really how baseball kind of operates anymore.
Yeah, and I think that it is only two games, but at the same time in this season, it's two games. And you're right, he doesn't have a hit yet. But ultimately, are we going to go down the same road again that we did with Joe Maddon? Like, is this going to end with Anthony Rizzo just batting leadoff again as some kind of gimmicky thing? And then moving Bryant down to the three spot, and then he's successful, and then you move him back up into the one spot. Or maybe, you know, are we just going to go with the hot hand, and whoever's hitting the best, that's going to be who's leading off that day, and we're not going to have a consistent lineup? David Ross has said he wants a consistent lineup. The players like a consistent lineup. He wants a consistent lineup. Now, whether Theo and Jed and whatever the Ivy tells them to do, who you should be batting lead off and who you should be, you know, putting there on a regular basis.
Probably your best hitter.
Probably your best hitter, right? Yeah. So if it's Chris Bryant, just deal with it.
So deal with it, but then you score three runs on Friday. Yesterday, you know, you get three. So, you know, at some point, you got to get an offensive pop, which we will see. But, you know, I wonder how long this lasts because, once again, 60 games, it's not a long season that this team needs to really get off to the right foot to get things going. The Chicago Bears made a trade yesterday. We talk about it next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
A lot of great baseball over the last couple of days, but yesterday, with all the baseball going on, the NFL making news. We will get to Jamal Adams getting traded to the Seattle Seahawks in a little bit, but the Chicago Bears make a move yesterday. Did you see this? Did you miss it?
I'm honestly surprised that the Bears didn't trade for someone.
Yeah.
Because you know how Ryan Pace is.
Yeah, right.
Ryan Pace is like, hold on.
Let me give some stuff away.
No, we can trade.
What do you got in your pockets? You got anything in your
pockets? The Seahawks made a trade. I want to acquire someone.
Got some picks in your pocket?
I got some more picks. Trade? What are we? Well, there's years. There's never ending years.
Yeah, right.
We don't know we don't know how many years there are going to be.
Never ending years.
I can trade draft picks forever. You want a 2028 draft pick? Yeah. You want a 2027 draft pick? You want a 2026 draft pick?
Hey, so Black and Abdallah, what are you guys talking about? Here's what took place yesterday. The Chicago Bears have traded tight end Adam Shaheen to the Miami Dolphins for a late-round conditional draft pick. That will be a sixth-round draft pick, conditional draft pick. Sources tell ESPN. Adam Shaheen, the 2017 second-round pick out of Ashland, has been a disappointment. This is from ESPN.com. He's been a disappointment in his last 3 years in Chicago due to injuries and ineffectiveness. He has 26 catches for 249 yards and 4 touchdowns in 27 career NFL games. And, you know, if you're a Bears fan, you watched Adam Shaheen play. The physical tools looked nice on paper, but when you saw him play on the field, he not only any time he tumbled or got hit or made a catch, he immediately asked out. You know, many times I would remember seeing him at Soldier Field. Here's a catch. Oh, Shaheen. Okay, gets 5 yards, lowers his shoulder, takes a hit, and then rolls out of bounds. And wait, where's Shaheen? Oh, he's heading to the medical tent. Never ending. He could never stay on the field. And even when he was on the field, he wasn't an effective tight end. Thus, why the Bears had to use their second-round draft pick, their first pick in this year's draft, on Cole Kmet, who we're hoping will turn into a stud tight end for the Chicago Bears and help out the quarterbacks. So, I mean, Adam Shaheen, when you look at what Ryan Pace is doing, not only is it surprising that the Bears were able to trade Shaheen for something. I'll give him credit for this. Mm. He found something. Now, there is, since it's a conditional pick, there is a possibility that the Bears get nothing at the end of this because It is a six-round conditional pick, and usually six-round picks don't really mean a whole lot in the grand scheme of things anyway. But so Ryan Pace giving up on Adam Shaheen, who was in the same draft class as his quarterback, his prized possession, Mitchell Trubisky. So the 2017 draft, not only do you hit us with the Trubisky, where you trade up and give things away to take Trubisky number two, you also draft Adam Shaheen. And that is where you look at those two items together. And this is going to go down as the draft that kills Ryan Pace as the GM for the Chicago Bears, because he can try and fix the mistakes. He can send Shaheen down to Miami for a six-round conditional pick. But really, at the end of the day, a part of the reason why this team is not better than they're at, and why when you see the future rankings for the next 3 years on ESPN.com earlier this week, and the Bears are ranked 31st, this is why. Go back to the 2017 draft. That's why. Shaheen, Trubisky, that's brutal. That's one of the worst starts to a draft in Bears history. That is terrible.
No, I agree with you. And I think that when you look at what he's done to kind of fix the mistakes, throwing a bunch of money at Jimmy Graham also set the franchise back as well, because it's way too much money. No one was lining up to give Jimmy Graham that much money. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you get the Bears. Their big free agency has started. The Bears are signing Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
What the
over market value?
You could have had 10 Cam Newtons for one Jimmy Graham, like the amount of money that they gave Jimmy Graham.
It's probably, probably at this point in the game, Cam Newton at tight end might be better than Jimmy Graham.
I'm just saying.
I mean, think about it.
Can Cam Newton catch?
Probably.
Okay, done. Sold. You've sold me on that. But you look at this is what I was looking at this earlier this week. Roto World put out their GM rankings as well, you know, this week. And number 30 went to Bob Quinn of the Lions, 29, Dave Caldwell of the Jaguars, and coming in at number 28, Ryan Pace of the Bears. This is why. Yeah, you can build a defense all you want. Defense is great. Defense wins championships. I understand that. But you have to get to the playoffs first. You have to be able to score. You have to. Defense didn't work against the Saints. How did that work out for you? The Bears were 8-8. How did the defense work in those other 8 games that they lost? You can build a great defense, and I give him a ton of credit for rebuilding that defense because it was one of the worst in the league, and he did a great job with that. But he has had a consistent problem building an offense. He got the quarterback wrong, which is the most important position in football. Kevin White, Adam Shaheen, Tariq Cohen, who's okay. He's more, I'm not married to Tariq Cohen. Like, if the Bears traded him or got rid of him, I don't think he's as explosive. I think he's a gadget player. I don't think he's what the Bears thought he was going to be, the kind of impact player that the Bears thought he was going to be on offense. And the way Matt Nagy used him last year was obviously what could tell you what the Bears think and what Matt Nagy thinks of Tariq Cohen. So because of all of that, this ranking to me is perfect. He's one of the worst, if not the worst GM in the league, because when you have a mistake, you need to fix it. I've got no problem if you swing and miss. Swing and miss all you want. But if you can't fix it, if you can't realize your mistake and you can't go and fix that problem, like drafting Adam Shaheen was a mistake. Fix it. But fix it the right way. Don't throw a bunch of money at Jimmy Graham. That's not how you fix it. You don't bring in 10 kickers to try to solve your kicking problem. You don't sign 20 tight ends to try to find the right one. That's not how you do things. You go out and you try to find the best players, and you make GM-savvy moves, and you make cost-effective moves to try to find the best players. And you don't get the most important position in sports wrong. Well, that's the one swing and miss I can't forget.
Like, and I'll disagree with you, though. I don't think it's as simple as just saying fix it, because what you have to look at is, look at the team. Okay, so Trubisky goes 2. The 49ers pick 3. They take Solomon Thomas. Now, as the 3rd pick overall, Solomon Thomas is a bust from Stanford. As a 3rd pick overall, like, he's not really a game-changing player.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is he a complete disaster of a player? I would disagree with that. He's usable. But to what John Lynch did then is, because he didn't turn out, Solomon Thomas didn't turn out as a game wrecker, what did he do? He used draft capital to go and load up their defensive line. And remember how good the 49ers were on the defensive line last season? Yep. And heading into the playoffs, they would show all these graphics. Oh, the 49ers go 8-9 deep on the on the defensive line, getting after the quarterback. Here are all these different studs coming at you. Okay, fine. He missed on Solomon Thomas as a game wrecker. But he then found DeForest Buckner.
Yeah.
He found all these other guys who could come out and do the job. So, like, I feel like, yeah, fix it. You can make the mistake, but fix it. But a part of it is you then have to draft really well, and that's where Ryan Pace falls into this category of the Bears may always be in this cycle of not actually being able to get to that top level that we expect them to, because look at the drafts that followed the 2017 draft for Ryan Pace, 2018, 2019, 2020. You know, that's where you have to ask, is he drafting better? Yeah, he might have a couple hits, but go look at that 2019 draft. David Montgomery, and the fact that, you know, yeah, you trade away your first rounders for Khalil Mack. I get that. But look at the players listed in 2019. Montgomery, he's a serviceable, good running back, right? Mm-hmm. What have you gotten from Riley Ridley?
Well, he didn't see the field half the season.
What do you get from Duke Shelley? Kareth White?
Hmm?
Steven Denmark?
Hmm?
Like, that's your draft class. So, like, the point I'm making is, like, the good teams draft well year after year after year, and that's why they're the good teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, like, you can say, make the mistake, but then you have to fix it. The way you fix it in the NFL is you draft well. Like, that's the solution. Like, this guy's got to draft better. How about this? We'll hear from Field Yates next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch this morning. Find the channel at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Chris Black, Adam Abdallah with you, talking Chicago sports. Here's Field Yates earlier this week on Waddle and Sylvie. The guys had him on to talk about the Bears ranking 31st in the ESPN future rankings in the NFL. And Field Yates was asked about Ryan Pace constantly overpaying for players, especially Jimmy Graham, in this last offseason.
Yeah, so, and to take this further, so people don't think that, like, oh, you guys are overstating it on Jimmy Graham before he's even played a game. Other examples include, as we know, not just taking Mitch, but trading up for Mitch. I think it was like an extra 3rd and a 4th round pick to move up one slot.
Right.
The other example that I think of, and this is sort of minor, but it's reflective of, like, not really reading the marketplace, is when the Bears claimed Roberto Aguayo off waivers from the Bucks, it was like, wait, you're the only team that claims him, and now you're on the hook for guaranteed money if he doesn't make your roster. And so it's not just the major decisions like Trubisky. It's the semi-major decisions like Jimmy Graham. It is also things around the fringes like Roberto Aguayo. And there have been some moves that have been shrewd and really worked out well, right? Akeem Hicks has been a great story of a guy that made good money at the outset, not incredible money, and now he's one of your best players, right? Trey Burton, though, two off seasons ago, feels like a legit part of your offense. Now he's cut. So there are enough examples that I think the trust in Ryan Pace is something that I think some Bears are sort of they can't quite build it, or they don't have it. Maybe they've passed the point of trying to build it. So I do think that Ryan has had some solid moments for the Bears as their general manager. I mean, two years ago they looked like, you know, a legit Super Bowl contender. But I would say if you just look at the full sample size, that there are enough moves that some people are going to question the overall body of work.
So that was Field Yates with Waddle and Sylvie earlier this week, and the Bears trade Adam Shaheen yesterday to the Miami Dolphins for a 6-round conditional draft pick, which if he doesn't play at all, the Bears actually won't get anything back for that at all. So there it is. Ryan Pace and Field Yates talking about Ryan Pace. He's got to draft better. Going forward, the Bears need to draft better. He needs to hit on players. I think he's got two in the second round here from Cole Kmet and Jalen Johnson. I think they will both be starters from day one. Mm-hmm. I expect a lot from Johnson. I think he's going to be a stud cornerback. But also, Cole Kmet, if he can be a game changer for Ryan Pace and the Chicago Bears at the tight end, I think that will really help the quarterback situation. And I think it will help the offense overall, especially with what Matt Nagy wants to do with his schematics offensively.
Yeah, I just don't know if he's going to be around here to do that.
Who, Matt Nagy?
No, Ryan Pace.
Oh, well, I mean, we'll find out.
I mean,
we'll
you see. Keep making Isn't moves that, like this.
The line is, we'll see. See how it all shakes out?
It's still early.
Okay. Chris Black, Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. At this time each week, we have our favorite segment of the week. It's called Good Question. And Good Question, this is how it works. If a host on ESPN 1000 asks a question to a guest on the phone, and the guest responds with good or great question, you score a point. In 2020, what does our leaderboard look like?
It's no surprise that Tommy over the middle, Thomas Waddle leading the way with 28, Jonathan Hood in second with 25, and Cap in third with 23.
Let's go to Good Question.
You're going to take any question?
You want me to let me finish talking? You ask me a question, I'm going to answer it. Don't interrupt me, okay? Just leave it plain and simple, all right?
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
Own or rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38. Dad, I got a question for
you. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
It's the question that drives us, Neo. It's the question that brought you here.
How could you ask me a question like that? What is my opinion of his performance?
I'm on Burgundy?
Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter? Dad, I got a question for you. Can
I get an answer? Here's this week's edition of Good Question.
A lot of times at the beginning, you see the defense can be a little ahead of the offense for various reasons. And in baseball, I'm sure it has those same tendencies for one to have an advantage over the other. Has that changed because of the shortness of the season and the preparation, or who has the advantage coming out of the gate?
That's a great question.
You don't trust and you can't trust anything that Ryan Pace tells you, because everything he says is misinformation and misdirection, so he doesn't give away anything that he's thinking for one reason or another. What's the access going to be like at Lake Forest this year? It's going to be totally different. You guys have to be socially distanced. How much of practice will you actually be able to see? We've got to depend upon who to judge the two players on who's going to make it without any independent eyes looking at this. So that's a problem to me. With the setup and with COVID, how are we actually going to know what the hell's going on up there?
Yeah, Eric, it's a great question.
The interesting thing you know, 22 team
lets you know when he gets
bubble,
one too.
A will be if we keep everybody healthy.
Milwaukee's
had this amazing season. If they don't win a title, I think there will be massive disappointment and feel like, what did we really achieve? Who is the best team in the NBA this year?
Good question.
Barry, is it up to the schools to decide on protocols, or is the Big Ten doing that as a group, the NCAA? Like, how does that work?
That's a good question.
Chuck, I got yelled at by Joe and Joliet earlier in the week for questioning the depth of the Sox rotation at this point. How would you describe the White Sox rotation?
It's a great question.
In general terms, just as you look beyond the White Sox, if you see the Mookie Betts projected contract, how surprised are you, Chuck, with the landscape being
it was
what
his
it
total
right
from
now
last year?
Wow.
Yeah, it's a good question.
I'll ask you this. Don't know if anyone's asked you this. So as a player, would you play during this pandemic? Would you play with your teammates? Because this is a big question for all athletes. Should I stay with my family or should I go and play with my teammates? So if you were faced with that, what would you do?
It's a really great question.
As you sit here today, is this championship, if you were to win it, more meaningful?
Remind me to tell you after this.
Because you have no idea what we had to navigate just to get guys healthy, keep them healthy, get them on the field, and if we get through a World Series, navigate everything going on in the world, or is a 162-game championship more meaningful?
I mean, it's a great question.
When you look at your team, what is the one thing you go, I'll hang my hat on
Captain
that,
Hood or not
that
tied
aspect of my team, and what is the one aspect where you think, that one, they got to prove to me that it's not going to be a problem?
It's a good question.
Chuck, exhibition season. I'd call this summer training what the White Sox have had. But for a team that's trying to figure out ways to win, did those victories against the Cubs mean a little bit more and maybe help kind of solidify the confidence that this team might have in itself?
Yeah, it's a good question.
All right. There you go. That's this week's edition of Good Question. So in the lead, Waddle.
So Waddle has 30. He had 30 last year total. So he's going to eclipse that. I mean, maybe. I don't know. And tied for second is Cap and Hood with 26.
So what you were saying during the clips as they play, yes, Cap is very into telling you when he gets one. He also sees all of you great fans of the show that send us the good questions. You can tweet us at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Black and at ESPN 1000. When you hear a good question throughout the week, he then sees them, and then after the fact, he wants to tell you that he got more than he really got.
Whoa. Yeah, wait a minute.
So just keep an eye on this. Now we have a system in place to make sure checks and balances going on to make sure. But he did the, I got a couple there. And I go, yeah, I know. We marked it down. He's like, no, I think I got more than that. I'm like, Cap, just because you see people tweeting, they're all tweeting us about the same
question.
We have
Watchmen, and we have people that watch the Watchmen.
Yes.
Don't worry.
Checks, balances. Coming up next, we talk baseball.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Back in 2 minutes.